You to turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. We'll be reading verses 29 through 36. John chapter 8. I'm speaking today on what price freedom. What price freedom? Thank God for that word and thank God for what it means, not only as far as a nation, but as far as human beings, individuals, the freedom that we have. John chapter 8, if you found your place, beginning with verse 29. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we were Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Freedom has always had a price tag to it, hasn't it? Always has cost. This is Memorial Day weekend, we call it. Tomorrow will be Memorial Day. And basically, that got started decorating the graves during the Civil War. But now it is used to remember all of those that have died for our country in any of the previous wars. And we thank God for the fact that they were willing to die, they were willing to serve, do whatever they did, both men and women, in order for us to have our freedom today. I sort of like coming to church without having the Gestapo around, don't you? I sort of like being able to come to church and not have to worry about the fact that there are guards around the building and they're all around just waiting to see if something is said wrong because the nation controls the church. But I'm glad that we have a day that we set aside where we remember that a great price has been paid for our freedom, and I trust that kind of price will continue to be paid. I believe that we need to rededicate ourselves to the spirit of 1776. I believe we need to rededicate ourselves to what was written then in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights that we have as citizens of this country. Many of those things that we have, number one, belief in Almighty God. What a precious freedom that is for us to believe in God and to know that. And our forefathers, I guarantee you, if you know your history and you're not listening to the revisionist history, you know that they believed in God. George Washington believed in God. They said he was a deist, but read some of his prayers. Read some of what he said in his prayer journals. He certainly believed in God, a belief in God. And then we've had limited government. That's a good thing, amen. And as long as we've had limited government, we have had limited national debt. But when the government gets in charge of all of those things, then we have the kind of billions and trillions of dollars that we owe, and all of us eventually are going to pay for that. We had individual freedom. That's what the Constitution is about, and those things, individual freedom that we had, free speech. The freedom to bear arms. Some of you pacifists won't like that, but I still think that we ought to be free to bear arms. And we had those kind of freedom, freedom to worship. And then we had incentive in our country. We didn't have everybody thinking that the government owed them everything. We had people that were working. And then you could keep the fruits of your labor. The reason some people are rich is because they worked for it. And I know work is a dirty word to a lot of people, but a lot of people have worked for it and have paid the price. And they didn't sit around and say, you owe me this, you owe me this, you owe me that. And it's not one ethnic group, it's all the different ethnic groups that think somehow today that the government owes them money. But the incentive, by the way, they don't give you anything you hadn't already given them. Called taxes. And then we had competition, businessmen. And others competed against each other in business. Employees would serve, and they would both serve their fellow man. Those are just some of the things. We had freedom, and it was based on that, the Constitution, and it was written based on the fact that we knew. Now, the Constitution is not the Bible. It's a man-made document, and it would fail in some ways, but it's a good thing. And they knew that we needed that. Patrick Henry said this, if my family have freedom and I have not given them one shilling, they will be rich. If they would not have freedom and I would give them and I have given them the whole world, they would be poor. That's the truth, isn't it? We thank God for freedom. And if you have freedom today, you are wealthy, whether you realize it or not. And we better not take our freedom for granted. Don't take your freedom for granted. I remember being in India in a town called Chilakalurupet. Try to say that real fast two or three times. And we were there preaching the gospel, and I had the privilege of preaching to a lot of people one night, and about 100 people got saved. And then we wanted to have a baptism, but they couldn't have it in their church in town. They had to have it way out in the country. And they had a mound of dirt that was about half as high as this auditorium ceiling. And that dirt was all around this place. It looked to me like something called an old dipping vat. And some of you who are raised in the country know they used to build those and they'd run the cattle through it to get rid of the ticks and all of that kind of thing. And they had something built like that. And I asked them, I said, well, why don't you baptize them in the location in town? They said, well, we could be persecuted, we could be beaten, they would burn our building down. And they would come out there. We had to be a little bit secretive about it to baptize those converts that got saved. And people gathered around that mound, and they would take them down in there and baptize them. And there were people I met while I was there, pastors, whose church buildings had just been burned down simply because they were Christian churches and believed in God and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have right now, in Iran, a pastor, Saeed Abedini, and he is in prison. They came in just recently in front of his parents and drug him out of a hospital room because he was suffering physically, took him back and threw him in prison, and he is in prison for 8 years simply because he would not deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Simply because he is preaching the gospel message today. In Sudan, there is a woman by the name of Miriam Ibrahim. And Miriam would not renounce the Lord Jesus Christ. They told her, you renounce Christianity, renounce Christ, and we'll let you go. And the judge demanded that she do that, and she would not do that. She is now expecting. When that baby is born, she's been sentenced to death. When that baby is born, they will flog her, and then they will kill her and execute her. Freedom. We better thank God for our freedom. And we're beginning to lose some of it. What should we do? We should just keep serving God, be light, be salt. We don't quit because of that. The Apostle Paul didn't have a nation that was behind him. He didn't have a lot of freedom. We have to keep going. But we need to do all we can, I believe, to protect our freedom. We have to vote right. I know some of you are still voting for your grandpa's party, even though they believe in abortion, they believe in same-sex marriage and all of that. You need to get over that. If you have two candidates, and it doesn't matter what political party they are, and you didn't know, and I wouldn't send one over here, and I'd say, he believes in abortion, murder, and the little babies, and he believes in same-sex marriages, and he believes in homosexuality and all of that, and here's one, you didn't know what he was as far as his political affiliation, and I said, they believe in killing babies, they believe in same-sex marriage, then which one are you going to choose as a Christian? I hope to God you'd choose this one over here. Forget the political party. Take a stand for what's right. And your daddy and grandpa's party has changed, my dear friend, whether you realize it or not. Judge Roy Moore. You remember Judge Roy Moore from Alabama? Judge Roy Moore was removed from the bench because he would not take down the Ten Commandments. He wouldn't remove them out of his office. And they tried to remove him from serving now in Alabama in a law practice. And he wrote a little poem recently, not too long ago, and I want to read this to you. He said, "America the beautiful, or so you used to be, land of the pilgrim's pride, I'm glad they'll never see. Babies piled in dumpsters, abortion on demand. Oh, sweet land of liberty, your house is on the sand. All our children wander aimlessly, poisoned by cocaine, choosing to indulge their lusts when God has said abstain. From sea to shining sea, our nation turns away from the teaching of God's love and a need to always pray. We've kept God in our temples, how callous we have grown, when earth is but his footstool and heaven is his throne. We voted in a government that's rotting at the core, appointing godless judges to throw reason out the door. Too soft to place a killer in a well-deserved tomb, but brave enough to kill a baby before he leaves the womb. You think that God's not angry? That our land's a moral slum? How much longer will he wait before his judgment comes? How are we to face our God from whom we cannot hide? What then is left for us to do but stem this evil tide? If we who are his children will humbly turn and pray," that's revival, folks, "seek his holy face and mend our evil way, then God will hear from heaven and forgive our sins. He'll heal our sickly land and those who live within. But America the beautiful, if you don't, then you will see a sad but holy God withdraw his hand from thee." Judge Roy Moore, and I believe he's absolutely right. We need to stand up for our freedoms, and that's important. And might I add here, too, that there is freedom because we're strong. And I want to tell you, we need to have a strong military. It's as simple as the bully that's around the school ground. If you're not stronger and more powerful than the bully's going to bully you. If you're not stronger and more powerful than other nations, then those wicked, corrupt nations like Russia, look at what they're doing right now, Mr. Putin, and see all that's going on. We need a strong military, and that's what has kept our freedom where it has been for all of these years, along with the great grace of Almighty God. There's freedom because we are strong. Now, persecution is going to come when we stand up for what's right, and especially as Christians. But freedom has always had a price tag to it, and we might as well expect those things to come. There is spiritual freedom also. I've been talking about national freedom and the fact that we need to preserve it, and we need it, and I'm glad because of that I'm able to preach today. I'm able to stand here and preach the Word of God without fear. That will change someday, I imagine. But at any rate, thank God for it. But thank God for spiritual freedom too. And that's what John was talking about in our text. When he was talking about, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." I like that word, free. There's something great about being free and having freedom. The price was paid for that. The military paid for our national freedom. The Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary, thank God, and paid for our spiritual freedom. He suffered. He bled. He was persecuted. He died. He was beaten. You know all that Jesus went through as he went to Calvary so that freedom could be offered. And by the way, that freedom is offered to all people all over the world. All people all over the world. It covers all people. Every race, every country, every culture, every continent. It makes no difference. For God so loved the world. all of the inhabited world. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. And I thank God that He loved the world enough to give His only begotten Son, that Jesus died for us. What was the degree of His love? For God so loved the world, sinners like you and I who are on our way to hell. God so loved the world that He gave. What was the price that was paid? He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus went to the cross. Jesus became our substitute, our sacrifice, our ransom, our propitiator. Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary, and thank God He was willing to pay the price to die for us. Keep in mind, He could have called 10,000 angels anytime He needed them. He was not a victim. He was voluntarily there because His love took Him to the cross. He loved people like you and I who are very unlovely in many ways. He gave. He so loved. And thank God today we're no longer, if we're saved, under the bondage of sin. We have been freed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Freed indeed, and listen to this, free forever. Freed indeed and freed forever. What are we free from? Number one, the penalty of sin. I thank God I'm free from the penalty of sin. Romans 6:18, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. That's the way it ought to be. We are servants of righteousness. We are bond slaves of love. We love Him so much. We're servants of righteousness to Him. We want to please Him. We're made free from sin, the power of sin. Free from it. And free from the penalty of it, all of those things. I'm glad that I've been freed from the penalty of sin. I'll tell you, when I meditate on hell, I'm thanking God that I'm not going there. I talked to a man one time in the hospital. He had cancer, and I went to visit him. His last name happened to be Weaver. And so I witnessed to him. I was talking to him, had made friends with him, I thought, and I was telling him about the Lord and witnessing to him. And I was talking to him about the fact that you don't want to go to hell. You want to receive Christ as your Savior. And I asked him, would you like to be saved? With my Bible in my hand, would you like to come to Christ? And he let out an expletive or two, and he said, no, absolutely not. He said, put me in a rubber casket, put a bottle of whiskey in there and a deck of cards, and I'll bounce through hell and enjoy every bit of it. Well, my friend, he died in that condition. He wasn't thinking about the penalty of sin. As Dr. Barber preached about hell the other day, I'm telling you, there are no parties in hell. And people that are in hell right now, I'm telling you, people who were on drugs in this life are craving them there in hell. People who are alcoholics in this life are craving just a little drink of alcohol. And people who are materialists, who put that before God, who sold out to materialism and pleasure, they are desiring all of that in hell, but they'll never get it. And we know the story of the rich man who is in hell, who cried out for one drop of water. Just one drop of water. I'm telling you, I thank God today that I'm freed from the penalty of sin because Jesus Christ died for me. And may I give you some good news? There's good news in all of this. And the good news is you can be freed from the penalty of sin too if you hadn't received that gift of eternal life. You don't earn it. You don't join a church to get it. You don't get it by baptism or regeneration. You don't get it by your good works. You get it by the grace of Almighty God. You are free from the penalty of sin because Jesus took your place on the cross of Calvary. Thank God He did. We're also free from the power of sin. And our people talk, Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. That's pretty plain, isn't it? Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. And people say, well, I just can't help it. I've got this habit, and I just can't break it. That's not what the Bible says. You say, well, I've gotten addicted to pornography, and I just can't quit it. I just can't break it. That's not what the Bible says. You say, well, I drink, and I just can't quit drinking. I'm an alcoholic, and I can't get over alcoholism. And it's a disease. Isn't it strange that we sell disease to the public? and charge them for disease. It's not a disease. It may take a hold of your body and have some impact on it physiologically, but my friend, it's a choice you have, and you make that choice, and in reality, it is your fault because of that. But you don't have to do that. There's not a Baptist that has to take up liquor or alcoholic beverages in any form or fashion for any reason. God will give you the strength to say no. If you're having problems with pornography, God will give you strength to say no. The Bible says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. If you are filled with pride, you can get over that by the help of God. If you're filled with envy and jealousy, and if you're filled with hatred or filled with bitterness towards someone, or anger towards someone, you say, I just can't help but be angry with them. You can help it. According to the Word of God, He has freed us from the power of sin. Sin no longer has power over me, and it cannot force me to do that. I have to choose to do something that's wrong, contrary to the will of God. I'm simply saying, Christian, there are no excuses for us to live a life that is sinful. There are no excuses for us to carry sin in our lives and not judge it and get it out of our lives and repent of it and admit it to Almighty God, whatever it may be. There's no excuse for it. We've been freed not only from the penalty of sin, but the power of sin. But I even have better news for you. We're going to be freed someday from the presence of sin. I like that. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Then we which are alive and remain, is talking about the rapture of the church, when Christ comes back for His church, the bride of Christ, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds in the air, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. How long are we going to be with Him? We'll ever be with the Lord. He's coming back after us, saints, and we're going to forever be with the Lord. What a glorious day that's going to be. Free from the presence of sin, always in His presence. My wife and I were eating lunch. We made a hospital call, was going to make another one. We stopped for lunch at that time at a restaurant, and right in the booth next to us, we were waiting on our food, and I heard vile language coming. There were two women sitting there. And I heard such vile language. And I asked my wife, did you hear that? And I finally just said, did you hear that? And she said, no, I wasn't paying any attention. All through the time we were eating, they had such vile language. I thought, who in the world would want to marry something like that? My soul. A woman who was cursing in just vulgar language. Well, one of these days, I'll never have to hear that kind of stuff anymore. There won't be any of that in heaven. There won't be any cursing. There won't be any blasphemy in heaven. There won't be any of that stuff up there. Thank God we're going to be freed from the presence of sin. You won't have to put up with abortion up there. You won't have to put up with drugs up there. You won't have to put up with all that up there. You're not going to have to put up with pornography in heaven. It'll all be taken care of. We'll be in the presence of God. There will be no sin present there. Thank God we'll be free from the presence of sin. We see too much of it today, and it grieves our souls. God help us to do all we can to stop what we can. But one of these days, because Jesus paid it all, we will be free from the penalty of sin. And we are already free from the power of sin and someday from the very presence of sin. Now, to the saved person, thank God we have those freedoms. Those freedoms are ours to claim. But listen to me, if you have never received Christ as your personal Savior, if you've never come to the place where you saw yourself as a pitiful sinner who needed a Savior and asked Him to come into your heart and save you, then you cannot claim these things. There's no way you can claim them. You can't claim that you're free from the penalty of sin because you're not. He that believeth not is condemned already, and you're condemned in your lost condition. But oh, I've got good news. Jesus loves you and He wants to save you. He wants to free you today from the penalty of sin and from the power of sin so that one day He can take you into heaven and you'll be freed from the presence of sin. What do I have to do, preacher? Trust Christ as your Savior. This is not for the unsaved. And the saved people, may God help us How can we ever be thankful enough? When you think about the freedoms we have in this country, and you think about the freedom that Christ has given us and God has given us, how can we ever not appreciate it to the point that we give God our very best? You see, if we don't take advantage of our freedom to witness and live right and worship and serve God and have revival, then later we're going to give up those freedoms. May God help us to come today to this old-fashioned altar and get on our faces before God and say, God, I thank you for the freedom we still have in America, and by your grace, I'm going to do more than I've been doing because I still have that freedom. Thank God for it. Appreciate it. Love it. Be glad you still have it, because someday you may not have it. We're drawing closer and closer to it. May God help us to do what's right and to live the right way because of those freedoms. Saved person, you can have victory in your life if you'll turn it over to God. He has said it very clearly. He said it very succinctly in His Word, that you don't have to sin. You don't have to continue in your backslidden condition. Bring it to God, and God will give you victory over that. And lost person, God will give you victory over the penalty of sin. Let's stand, please. What price freedom? Our national freedom, our spiritual freedom. What a price has been paid. The bloodshed of Jesus Christ and many a woman, many a man, that we could be free. May God help us to live right. And may God help us to take advantage of our freedom. And may God help you, if you're here without Christ, to come and trust Him as your Savior today, so you can be free from the penalty, the power, and ultimately the presence of sin. Thank you, Lord, for your word. God, you know hearts. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts today. We as believers, help us to have a revival of appreciation for our freedom in this country, and to do what we should do because of it, and to not be Laodicean, lukewarm Christians that are on the dry rock of complacency. May you move us out with revival in our souls. May you stir us and we'd be thankful for what we have. Save the lost. Give us victory today through Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. While we sing, may God help you to come if there's a prayer need. Just to come and thank God for your freedom and make a fresh commitment to Him. God, I'm going to use my freedom to glorify you. Come and trust Him. While we sing, would you do it?